How many of you had a chance to look at Psalm 20 this past week? You probably were doing that in your community groups, I would hope. Psalm 20 is part of a pair of psalms, and Psalm 20 is the first one. And I want to read from you this morning from the psalm that follows that, Psalm 21, because the people have all these requests for God to deal with for their leaders. And the first six verses of the next psalm, Psalm 21, is that leader's response. David responds. And so let's pray before we read. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is so helpful for us. Help us to understand what you have for us this morning and to learn to use it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked for life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your leadership, your provision, your sacrifice that you made for us. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. And we also, it's kind of hard for us to say, but we thank you for our leaders, our political and national and local leaders. Some of them don't please us. A lot of them don't please us, Father. I'm sure they don't please you. But you've commanded us to pray for them, just as here in Psalm 20, the people are praying for their government and for their military. So, Father, we pray in the same way for ours. And, Lord, we would love to see this become a nation of people who will elect the kinds of leaders like what David was. Wouldn't that be something, Father, to have that kind of leadership again, to have godly leadership? Would you bring that about in our country? And I know that starts with us, the people, each of us as individuals. There has to be a transformation in the hearts of the people of this nation. So we need the Holy Spirit for that. We can't do that on our own, by ourselves. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know you've done these kinds of things in the past. We know that you can do it again, and we ask you, would you do that for your glory, for your name's sake? So, Father, we pray for unity among ourselves. And I love the unity that we experience here at Candlewood. We do want to pray for those of us who are going through some difficult times, some painful times emotionally, losses and heartaches and disappointments and physical pain. I don't know, Janie in particular, she's been going through a lot lately with her heart. So, Father, I pray that you'd lift her up, encourage her. Lord, we do ask that you would extend her, you'd keep her with us for a while. And so Lord, I pray that you would help her to heal and heal well. And we praise you for the transformation that we've been seeing in her and the enthusiasm she has for you now that she knows you personally. And so, Father, we pray that that she would continue to be a good witness there in the hospital and when she gets home. We also pray for Mike and pray for him as he leads our discussion here this morning. Ask that you'd help him to think and speak clearly the message that you have for us. Help him to communicate well. Help us to communicate well also, that we would hear, understand, and speak with accuracy. And now as we get ready to receive the offering, Father, we want to thank you for your provision. And Lord, these are hard times financially, sometimes for many of us. A lot of us have seen our retirement accounts just almost vaporizing, and it's a scary thing to witness. But Lord, we do know that you are the provider. It's not our money, it's your money. So Father, help us to have generous hearts and to remember that you are the one who enables generosity, and that if we are generous, that you will be generous with us so that we can continue that generosity. Father, and I pray for the funds that do come in, that you'd help the leadership at Candlewood to use them wisely. And we give you the praise and all the glory, and just ask to be your instruments. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, this is the welcome time. I didn't realize that was on the list. Get up and get back to talking. But Laura, yeah, go ahead and take the basket around. We're gonna give you extra bonus points for degree of difficulty as you try to find everybody. All right, say hi to each other.
I wanted to share with you at this point in time something that we all go through. I know we keep emphasizing the fact that when you leave from here, you're to represent Christ to those who know him and especially those who don't. And we all know that you're having great success out there. Multitudes of people are coming to Christ because you're talking about him and word's getting around. And isn't that your experience? No. It's very frustrating. Even the apostles were frustrating. Read about it. And I'm frustrated. I share the greatest presentations of the gospel to people, and they basically tell me, yeah, whatever, and move on to what they want to talk about, which is a sport. That's how it is. So this morning, I thought it would be good to hear from somebody who experiences much the same that all of us do. Still be encouraged, but Rosie Francis, come on up here. The trick of this is I'm going to interview her, as if that can actually take place. Rosie, like all of us, has got people that live around her that don't know Christ. And she has a burden for them that they come to know Christ. You realize these people who don't know Christ are on the way to hell. That's enough of motivation. You got to get the word out. The building is on fire. And Rosie's been burdened by somebody. She's going to share it with us in just a minute. And basically tell us how it's not going, right? This is like a reverse testimony of how it's not going. Here you go, Rosie.
Well, when we started this small group, we were the first people that Glenn spoke to were our neighbors next door. And he was all excited about it. And we started praying because they're a couple living together without the benefit of marriage. And in conversation before the church started, I was just talking to Trish. And I noticed she was all over the place with religion because she's educated, very learned, indifferent of the various religions. And just coming to know Christ is just by reading the Bible. And it's amazing for me, as I said to Glenn, how the Holy Spirit works. And I do believe in election, and I think she's saved. But she needs more of a fundamental of the faith. And those people who are in our small group at home, when we would say something, because most of us are seasoned believers, hopefully in the word, and things would just the awe and awe that she says. So I've been trying since November to get together with her to go through, do a one-on-one study. She's just next door to me. And I told her that we would get together and do it. Just tell me when. First, it was a Wednesday. Then it was a Tuesday, and it never turned up. So I said to Glenn, I'm sort of feeling a little badly because I'm the one who is, I would text her and said, are you going to come over? I'm home. I'm working from home or I'm available. But it never happened. So it got very frustrating because one of the things I was hoping with a small group, I have a lot of people live in my neighborhood that, especially the ladies as I speak with them, they need Christ. They have a form of godliness, but do not know Christ. So somehow in my conversation, I tried to interject Christ, a relationship, not just going to church. And it's not happening, honestly. And with Trish, it's not happening. So I've been like, this week, honestly, I was home for 3 days, and I was a little frustrated with the Lord. You ever complain to the Lord? That's what I've been doing, a lot of complaining to him about, you know. So just pray for Trish, you know, and she's a really neat girl, and she loves the Lord. But because she picks, seeing all these different religion, and sort of, you know, the New Age, the Buddha, the Hinduism, and all of that. So just pray for Trish, and also pray that I sort of back off a little bit, because I don't want her to see me next door and run, you know what I mean? When are we going to get together?
Okay, let's do that right now. Let's pray for Trish. And the reason I want you to hear this story is this. The word that Rosie used with me before was that she's just so slippery. Can't seem to get a hold of her. And I'm like, that's a lot of my contacts, too. They're nice to my face, but then when you want to get a little more intense, they get very lubricated. You just get slippery. So let's pray for Trish that she loses her slipperiness. Okay, can we do that? Father, we do thank you for Rosie's heart, for those around her, that they would know you deeper, know you initially as Savior and Lord. Father, pray right now for Trish. And I would ask that she'd lose that slipperiness. I'd ask that the Holy Spirit through Rosie would have a firm grip upon her as Rosie reveals the word to her and seeks to help her grow. So, Father, for each of us as we're dealing with slippery people like this, we thank you for them, but I pray, Father, that we wouldn't give up, that we wouldn't walk away, that we would stay intensely involved, showing that we care for them. Father, I commit Trish to you and Rosie in this situation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's that time of the morning where we get in groups of two or three, your choice, dogs don't count, two or three, and after you're in your group and you get settled, make sure you pick out a leader, and then when you're settled, look up here, and we'll get things going. Very interesting morning where we're about to go in just a couple of minutes. So get with someone, look around, pick out somebody you want to study with, pick out somebody smarter than yourself, and alrighty, ready, set, go. Go find that person, move chairs, sit with them. Everybody in a group? The key thing that you did not do in your group is you're supposed to look up at me when you're in that group. And look at me when you get in that group. That way I know you're in your group. Has everybody picked out a leader in your group? We've picked out leaders. Good. Listen up. Psalm 20, which is what we studied in community groups, and we're going to look at here more intensely. Psalm 20, I feel, has a dual aspect to it. One is that's in regards to leadership, leadership of Israel, leadership of government, and that's one lane we're going to go down. And the other lane is whenever God speaks his heart about something, there is application to me. And so with that said, I want everybody to hear the scripture together this morning. So I asked Bob if he would come and read Psalm 20 for us. Bob, would you read Psalm 20 for us?
To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call.
Great. I don't know how you approach the word, but when I look at the word every day, I have one prayer before I read it, and that's this. Lord, teach me by your word, because I don't exactly know what he might have for me there. So now I'm going to ask you to have the leader of the group that you picked lead your group in prayer very quickly, asking the Lord to teach us at this time from the word. And when you're done that prayer, look up at me. Okay, great. You know, that little prayer you might think is just a blowaway prayer, but opening your heart to say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, teach me in your word that I'm about to read, I think it's a powerful place to be, admitting that you need what he has for you there. Listen to me. You heard Psalm 20 from Bob reading it. Now I want you to go through it. This is the first leg of the exercise. I want you to go through it, and I want you to see. I can't wait for this to happen here. I really can't. I want you to develop challenges for government leaders from this psalm. One, two, or three of them. You have to get exhausted, but one, two, or three things from this psalm that our government, definitely needs to be challenged by. And I can't wait to hear the sharing from this. So go ahead through there. You've got a few minutes. Pick out some challenges for government and government leaders. Okay, if I could have you look up in this direction as you're winding up this part of the conversation, and who from your group might share. You don't have to share, but if you'd like to share one or two things, that'd be great. When you're ready, you'll look up here, and I'll know we can start. This ought to be interesting. Can't wait to do this. Can't wait to do this. In fact, before it even starts, because this is going to be very interesting in a minute, before it even starts, any one of these things that are shared is a challenge to our government leaders and our government itself. These would be great prayer requests for you to take forward from this meeting as to how to pray for those folks in leadership positions. The scripture calls us to pray for our leaders. It's a lot easier to condemn and throw rocks. It's a lot harder to pray for them on a regular basis. Yay? Yay. Okay. Who would like to be the first? Oh, here we go. I was afraid of this. Here you go, John.
Well, two main points come out to me. The first is, it says, may he give you your heart's desire. The key to that is our heart's desire has to be God's heart. And if it's our number one desire, then he's going to give us the desire of our heart. And that's what he was doing to David. As they were cheering David on about the sending the war, that's what they were telling him. You know, look, you're doing this for God, so you do it with heart's desire. The other thing is where it talks about not trusting in man's things. Trusting in man's way, in this particular thing, I'm talking about fighting in a war, would you, you know, don't trust in tanks and guns. Trust in God to bring you to victory. So that's the two points I got out of it.
You're getting the right page. Let's keep going. Whoever would like to share. Don't have to if you don't want to. But if you want to, we have a microphone for you. Who is next? Rose. Here you go.
We were just talking about how they've flipped wisdom so that they're trusting in their wisdom over God's wisdom, and they need to flip that back to the right way so that they trust in God's wisdom first and man's wisdom second.
That has got some gears to it. There's some depth there. Okay, who's next? Well, the way you're charging, I thought it was you. Okay, here you go.
Henri. Okay, so our point was that this is a group prayer that David has put into song, and so the people are crying out for David. And I'm thinking our government really needs to listen to the people and be willing to sacrifice their desires and what they want and turn to God and do what God wants them to do and listen to the people because they're not doing it now.
Ooh, starting to smoke in here. Here we go.
Verse 7, trusting in chariots and horses. You know, are our government trusting in the nuclear weapons they're providing or their armies? You know, we should be praying for them that they trust in God instead of these arsenal and other things.
In verse 1 says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. But the response, that's a question you can ask if, as in verse 3, you're doing offerings and burnt sacrifices. So there needs to be, on the part of our leaders, some attention and some fulfillment of their responsibility to God.
All right, this is a deep end of the pool thing going on now. It's kind of fun. Anybody else got something to share? Bob.
We were discussing some of the things that are going on today, like protesting the decision of the Supreme Court, when the protesters have no right to protest to those that are upholding our Constitution, that they shouldn't be swayed. And also in verse 5 it says, we will triumph in thy salvation. And this should be our prayer, that those that are in our leadership will be saved.
Simple as that, yet profound. Good job, Bob. Oh, going out to the porch. Our chairman has joined the porch pirates. Here we go. Yeah, that's right. He's got to step up to the doorway. His wife knows how this works. Right there's the spot. It's usually...
I'm sorry, you gave me such an opening there. We talked about a lot of the things that you all talked about, I'm sure, but it seemed to boil down to a need for humility,
When have you ever seen an elected official say, I was wrong, I made a mistake, I need to fix that? It does not come out of their mouth. There will always be some excuse, some reason, somebody else to blame. There needs to be an ability to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And before that, until that happens, there is not going to be any salvation, even to start with. None of that is going to happen until there is humility, because God just isn't going to have anything to do with proud people. So that needs to stop.
My goodness, I knew this was going to go deep real quick. Anybody writing some of these down? They're good. Glenn, is it you? Here's this spot over here. It's the Phil spot. Right here. Right here. Right, Phil? You know where the spot is, right? Right there.
Phil, may I tease you? Is it okay if I tease you, Phil? I just want to make sure I have this right height, too. I just have to bump my body. I'm sorry. You're dreading. Typically, when armies were going out to war, they would set up, they would go out under the banner of their gods. And here it is that David was encouraging them, or the people encouraging them, to go under the banner of God himself. My challenge to governments would be to go out under the army of the Lord of hosts, under God. And as a personal challenge as well, that when we face our battles, we go out under the banner of God.
Nice, I like that. Have we got it all? You ready to move on? Okay, go back through the psalm. Go back through the psalm as you read it now, and if you were reading it privately, and come up with challenges for Candlewood Church, or come up with challenges for yourself, which would then be Candlewood Church, and when you share them, you will be challenging the church body and teaching them, and I love that. So you're going to go through the psalm and look for the personal challenges as God reveals his word through David here in Psalm 20. Go. Okay, when you've got it refined, you can look up here and we'll get this going. This is your chance to teach the body here at Candlewood. Challenges from Psalm 20 that you see. Okay, if I could get your attention up this way. Stephen's going to be our first one to share. Steve?
Okay. One is the day of trouble. Begins in verse 1 with the day of trouble. And this was a prayer David wrote for people to pray for him. So one is for us to understand what our days of trouble are in our own group, who's going through a day of trouble, and pray for them. Pray without ceasing, and pray for help from the sanctuary, which from his temple, from his Holy Spirit. Pray for other supporters to pray for them. So the first thing is on for each other, to pray for each other. It's really important that we're praying, especially as all of us are facing different times of our day of trouble. The more personal side of this is, he said, and let me find the verse, with the saving might of his right hand. And the other thought is, so a lot of times we want to avoid battles, but God has given us a battle for a purpose, and we have to rely on his right hand. And a lot of times we want to shirk from the battle, get away from the battle, escape from the battle, but that battle that David was facing was one probably God told him to go into. And so there's certain battles we're facing, and our first tendency is to flee from the battle. But really to say, God, it is your right hand that is going to help me to win this battle for your purposes.
That is a challenge. Hold on. They keep coming. Here we go, my friend.
I think I need this.
Yes.
Do I need to stand in that doorway? Okay. The first thing that I keyed on is the center phrase that now I have to bring it back up on my phone. May he give you your desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. And I think for me, I need to make sure that my desires and my plans are coexistent with God's. Because if they're not, then I won't succeed. And God's plan is going to succeed with me or without me. He's going to succeed without this church or with this church. I look at blessings in my life. I mean, I have tons of blessings, starting with her. And I look at our church. Our church may not be blessed with big buildings and stuff like that, but we're blessed with people that care about each other, people that love each other. And that's something some big churches don't even have. Our country is blessed to the point where our poorest people would be rich in other countries. And I think our politicians need to realize that both sides have good ideas, and if they only started working together and not look to put the praise on their party and the praise on God himself, that we could do so much as a country. So those are the three steps. And that goes down to our church doing more to bring people to God, and individually that we need to grow better and look for our heart's desire and our plan to be in line with God.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's keep going. Oh, maybe the wife goes next. Okay, maybe she does.
Just a few things. It's very obvious that we're meant to pray for our leaders. I mean, the whole psalm is on that. But, you know, when we have a meeting like today and we talk about it, oh, yeah, we have to do that. But then days and weeks and months are going to pass again. Is it going to be on our mind, or do we have to be reminded to keep praying for our leaders? And I think we kind of, I know that I fall short in that area. Also, Glenn had mentioned, you know, standing under God's banner. And we want to do that also. But in verse 8, it says, we've risen and stood upright. And I think in today's society, it's a challenge to stand upright in the midst of, you know, Christians are getting a bad name. And it's it can be intimidating for some people to keep standing upright.
Love that. Here we go, Jim.
Verse 5 is just a direct challenge. May we shout for joy over our salvation and in the name of God set up our banners. So I think some of it, the challenge is to be reminding ourselves and talking about what God has done through us in Christ. And in the name of God, set up our banners. Show our allegiance to Christ in everything that we do and all our interactions. And then follow, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. They're there. That's the assumption is you're making petitions, which we could see as prayer. And so we just need to be upfront about who we are, who we worship, who we follow, who we have allegiance to, and to be continually living in prayer.
Nice. It's a depth of mourning. I guess the protocol is wives will speak after the husbands. I like this.
On that verse 5, that's always been one of my favorite ones. When you're praying for someone, and then to come back and hear how God has answered it, to shout joyfully, you know, to really rejoice with one another. Because a lot of times we pray for each other, but we don't always do that rejoicing, you know. And so anyway, that's always been one of mine as a challenge, to be sure that we rejoice. Verse 6 is just a comforting voice, that we know God saves his anointing. He's watching over his people. And that we, just like we talked about, our leaders need to be humble. Our national leaders, we as believers, also need to be humble and realize our dependence on the Lord. And I was thinking the same thing, Laura, about if we're really marching under the banner of God, we'll be to be known as his followers and to stand up for him as followers, even when it's hard. And it's getting harder and harder for believers. Wait a minute, I have not done. wait, there's more. And I guess it was just a tag onto verse 5. Just remember how God has answered prayers and to rejoice verbally together, remembering God's answers. And now I'm done.
That's solid stuff. This is good. Somebody else want to share? Hand up. Okay, hold up. Jim, you got a hand up? Okay, hold on. You got to listen carefully, everybody.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, in Psalm 20, it's probably one of the best psalms that ever came out of David's life. He has provided a way through his word that if you follow the Holy Spirit in the sense of the song that is sung, there'll be a great assurance, protection, and power. Peacefulness, rest for anyone that rests in the Lord, for us as an individual or as a group. If we can rest in the word of the Lord, then we will be able to follow him without any problem. The problem is when you get into the bigger groups, the governments and everything, They have a big problem. They don't want to listen to one another. They'd rather go their own way. And if they would just rest in the Lord and follow the Lord's way, then everything would be fine.
Good job, Jim. Thank you. Hold on. Glenn, you got to come to the spot. Right here. There you go.
Thanks very much, Pastor Mike. Let me get back to that verse here. It speaks about the God of Jacob. And I had to ask myself a question. Who is this God of Jacob? The God of Jacob was Yahweh, oftentimes referred to as a God of Abraham and Isaac and the God of Jacob. And to recognize who this God is that we do serve. When Moses was at the burning bush and he asked God to tell him who it is that he was going to be sending to deliver the Israelites, he said, tell him that I am. That is the God it is that we serve and that was whose banner we fall under.
Thank you, Glenn. Anybody else? All righty, could you take a minute right now? Take a minute right now in your group and pray for your group. Just a minute. Pick out somebody to pray in your group and pray for the other people in regards to one of these challenges that you just heard or one that your group came up with. Do that with each other. Pray and support each other. One person in the group, pray for the group right now from one of these challenges for us personally, and then we'll get going. When you're done praying, if I could get your attention up here, I would appreciate that. And listen up. Just a couple things I want to share with you. In fact, you could help me with this, all right? I'm trying to get a picture of who God is, and I'm describing God to somebody. Yell out the things about God that you know to be true. Go. Hold it, stop. Loving. Go. Powerful. Never changes. Wise. Faithful. I love that.
Trustworthy.
Okay. Holy. Okay, you get the idea? The descriptions of God as creator and powerful, the God of the universe, the God who is deserving of all worship and glory in the universe, that God. I want you to see this. I forget this stuff. That God is personally involved in my life. That God wants relationship with me and wants to be personally involved in my life, and he is. And I just think so often we get caught up in the culture, and what happens is this. We very much say, oh, you know, that happened. That just happened by chance. Even we fall into this, or we use this word. Oh, it happened by coincidence. And we forget the fact that the personal God of the universe is at work in our lives in the small matters as well as the big matters. I wanted you to see this right here, that several key aspects about God with me in the first three verses, you cannot get around. Listen to this. He's the one to go to in tough times. He is the one who protects me. He's the one who sends help to me. He's the one that gives me support. And then this one, I wanted to read verse 3 to you because I say something all the time, and this is the other side of it. Remember what I said to you? Oh, I've said this for 30 years. God's track record with you. Remember that phrase? Does anybody remember me saying that phrase of you recounting God's track record with you and worshiping and praising him over that? Listen carefully. Look at verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt offerings. Apparently the flip side of that is true. You have a track record with him. Huh. I don't have time to go into that, but that's fascinating stuff, that I have a track record with him. He's got one with me. I got one with him. And when I started to think this way over the past couple weeks, I went, uh-oh. Let that rest right there. Second thing I wanted you to see is this, and it's in verse 7. It talks about the fact that some trust in chariots and some in horses. And you know what? In those days, from what I read from history, when an army was gotten together with gladiator shields, chariots, and horses, and when the number got very big, other countries would shake and quake in fear because that was the power of the day. It's already been cited here that our power of the day in weaponry and what we can do maybe with technology. But you know what? Nothing's changed individually here. The chariots and horses are the things they were trusting in. I've got my chariots and horses. Our culture has got their chariots and horses. What is it? Money, power, position, possessions, all these things that are trusted. I'm okay for the future. I've got a great nest egg. That's my chariot, and that's my horse. Keep looking at the news. We'll see where that nest egg goes. Jay already mentioned that. Don't get caught up in this. Listen carefully to me. When the culture talks about what to trust in, when the culture talks about what you should rely in and what should give you peace, you need to take any of those ideas and sift them through the Word of God. And when you sift them through the Word of God, you will then validate them or invalidate them. As simple as that. Something has taken over in our culture in the past 10, 15 years, maybe longer, where, and I always do this, look at me carefully, you'll get this. What used to be here and what used to be here has now flopped. The things that are dishonorable to God are now honored by our culture. And you, who might be conservative as far as biblical perspective, you who might be in the scripture, you who is trusting in Jesus Christ, you're not honored anymore. You're at the bottom. In fact, as I heard the past few weeks on the news with some people speaking, politicians, that you now have a radical agenda because you're conservative. Never heard that before. In my upbringing, those people had the radical agenda. But now it's me they're pointing a finger at as I continue to be part of a minority. Keep watching. That's what's going on. And what's your trust in? You know what our trust is. What is it? Did you see it in the psalm here? Everything else, no matter what, money, possessions, power, positions, it does not matter. What is the thing that I trust in? The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord and all that comes with that. Would you bow in prayer with me? Our Father, we come before you declaring to you as a group, in one voice, that we trust in you. We trust in your name. We trust in your activity in our lives. We trust that you will strengthen us, use us, spend us as you see fit, all that you might get more glory, which you deserve. Father, we once again, in the name of Jesus, offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Take us and use us as you see fit, as we trust in your name. Amen. In your group that you're in right now, whoever's, where they all went, I don't know. But as far as in your group, I want you to do this. I want you to look at each other and just say, I'm going to pray for you this week. Make sure you all say that to each other. And then have one person in your group close in prayer that the people in your group would be used by the Lord this week as he is willed. So you're going to look at each other. You're going to say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you this week when we're not together. And then one of you in your group is going to close in prayer for you guys to follow Jesus Christ this week. Go ahead and pray.